Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys.
Take 12, not my fault.
Okay, first of all, it's not take 12, it's like 8 or 9. And second of all, two of those times were actually your fault. We had been trying to record before and he mispronounced something so badly that I lost it and I couldn't stop laughing. And then when we tried the next time after that, I had a flashback to his mispronunciation and I lost it again. But I think I have it together now. We'll see. Cross your fingers. But we hope you guys are having a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. I can't believe this is our 8th episode already. That's crazy to me. Today we wanted to talk a little bit about parenting teenagers. And we've all heard that it can be a little challenging. And guess what? That's true.
We have 3 boys. The oldest is 27, the middle is 20, and the youngest is 17. So yeah, we've been there, and technically we are still there. But we're not going to talk about Marshmallow because she's perfect.
She is perfect, and technically she's not a teenager anymore. She's 6 in human years, which is, isn't it like 8 dog years to 1 human year? So what would that make her, like 46?
It makes her my baby forever.
Yeah, I know that, but technically she's middle-aged. But moving on, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I just want to say that we're not experts. Just a little disclaimer. We do consider ourselves parenting experts, but we're not. Like, we're not professionals. So whatever unsolicited advice we give you here today, it's just our own experience. So do whatever you will with what we say.
Parenting teenagers can be both a challenging and a comedy show, all rolled into one.
Yeah, facts.
One of my favorite things about having teens in the house are the one-word replies. Here's an example of a conversation we've had with all 3 of the boys. Me, how was school? Teen, fine. Me, what did you learn? Teen, nothing. Me, do you have homework? Teen, maybe. It's like playing a very boring game of 20 questions where you never actually win. Sound familiar?
Yeah, you nailed it. Those were the exact responses that we've gotten from all 3 boys over the years. Hashtag nailed it. And then there's the eternal mystery of the empty fridge. Do you ever wonder where all the food goes? Like, you buy groceries and then 2 hours later it's like a pack of wolves came through. The fridge is empty except for that weird condiment that no one ever uses. Hello, old bottle of Italian dressing on the fridge door. And yet somehow they're always still hungry. When they say that teens eat you out of house and home, it is no joke.
No joke at all. And what about all the empty food containers in the fridge?
Oh my God, yes. Don't even get me started on this rant, but now that you got me started, I'm going to go with it. They leave empty containers all the time. Like sometimes they'll be in the fridge, the freezer, on the Lazy Susan, in a cabinet. The other day I came into the dining room and there was an empty box of Goldfish. So we buy the box of Goldfish packets so that way the kids can take them if they want to take them on the go. And the empty box was just sitting on the dining room table. It drives me insane. No one told me that I needed to add Goldfish to the shopping list, and no one broke down the box and put it into the recycling bin. It was just sitting there on the table. I swear to God, I'm going to wrap up all the empty containers between now and Christmas, and I'm going to put them under the tree for the boys and give them a taste of their own medicine.
You should. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be hilarious, actually.
And then there are their sleeping habits. Teenagers have 2 modes. 1, can't get out of bed before noon on the weekends. 2, suddenly wide awake and texting at 3 a.m. on a school night. And let's not forget about their ability to sleep until the afternoon, while also complaining about being tired all the time. Call back to a previous podcast episode about bedtime routines. You know, we go to bed early and we get up early.
Yeah, we do. And sometimes with the kids, I actually think it's because they get too much sleep. Wait, no, that doesn't even sound right.
It doesn't, because I survive on 5 hours.
Yeah, sometimes even less. I don't know how we do it, but I guess that's just part of adulting. But the one that hits home for me really hard are their fashion choices. I vividly remember when I used to pick out cute little outfits for them when they were little. I would put them in matching outfits as often as possible, and they were so cute. Now, for the kids, it's all ripped jeans, track pants, oversized hoodies, and t-shirts with slogans that make no sense. I have to keep reminding myself that I survived the big aquanet hair and neon windbreakers of the 80s, and I'm sure my parents said the same thing about what I wore at that age. And while we're talking about fashion choices, it's always fun to hear them say to me, "Are you really wearing that?" as they walk out the door in pajama pants.
Yeah, and all our kids have driver's license now. But before any of them can drive, there was a never-ending request for rides. My teen's social life suddenly became my problem. I was basically an unpaid Uber driver with a strict no music you like policy. And of course, all their friends are on the opposite side of town.
It's funny you said that because we live in the second largest town area-wise in Massachusetts. So there are parts of our town that takes at least a half hour to get to. So when they were little, I always joked that they couldn't be friends with kids on the other side of town because I didn't want to drive that far back and forth. And actually, in our town, the elementary school, there were two elementary schools, and it's split up by the northern side and the southern side of town. So that wasn't really a concern because we were in one school. So all the kids in their school all went, you know, they were all in the same part of town. But the joke was on me because the 17-year-old's best friend is actually about a half-hour drive away. He's way on the other side of town because he moved to the other side of town, you know, after elementary school. And it's okay, though, because we love him. He's basically part of the family at this point, but it's just funny that you said that. And moving on, I wanted to mention that as soon as little ones become teenagers, they suddenly know everything. I don't know if you guys have experienced this yet or not, but once teens hit a certain age, they magically know more than you about everything, literally everything, from politics to how to correctly load the dishwasher, because apparently I've been doing it wrong all these years, and my expertise is suddenly obsolete.
I've never seen them load the dishwasher.
Well, they have a couple of times, but they do it wrong, and then I just end up doing it myself anyway. Oh, and then there's the phone attachment. Their phones are always glued to their hands, and God forbid you touch it. It's like they're operating nuclear codes. In their defense on this one, though, my phone is also always in my hand. And I've actually joked with people that I love my phone more than I love my children. So take what you will from that. But when they're on their phones, they can't seem to hear you unless you're saying something about the Wi-Fi or the internet connection.
Also, can we talk about the eye roll Olympics? Because if eye rolling were an Olympic sport, my teens would win gold. Every suggestion, comment, or request is met with an eye roll so dramatic, it's like you're asking them to move mountains.
Yeah, they definitely learn the art of the eye roll from their mother.
Can confirm. And how about their perpetual state of boredom? You know, you offer to take them somewhere fun, suggest a movie, or even bring up a new hobby. The response, I'm bored. How can someone with access to the entire internet, streaming services, and endless gadgets be bored?
Seriously. And let's not forget about the selective memory. They can remember every detail of a Snapchat streak, but somehow they forget to take out the trash or do their homework or even what you asked them to do 5 minutes ago. But if you promised them ice cream a week ago, you better believe they're going to remind you.
Yeah, they will. And there's always, I'm not a kid anymore rant is always fun too. Teenagers are quick to remind you they're not kids until they need something. Suddenly, you're back to being mom or dad who needs to fix all their problems. Independence? Only when they need gas money.
And if you have teens, this one will be familiar. And yeah, I'm talking about the mood swings. One minute your teen is happily chatting about their day, and then the next, they're storming off because you dared to ask them how they're doing in math. Like, how dare you? It's like living with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but both personalities are always just a little bit annoyed with you.
They also get that from their mom.
No comment.
And how about the selective cleanliness?
Cleanliness.
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 Probably also strikes a chord if you have teenagers. Their bedroom is a complete disaster zone. But suddenly, they become neat freaks when it's about something that matters to them, like organizing their playlists or cleaning their car before hanging out with friends.
And did you know that all teenagers are social media experts? They know every single social media trend, meme, and dance challenge, but somehow they have no idea how to fill out a check or mail a letter. Which, does anybody write checks anymore? I don't know. We don't. But you also have to be careful because one wrong move and you might end up in their TikTok video as the cringy parent. Chris and I have always found that having a good sense of humor takes the edge off sometimes. Here are a few things we do in our family to help keep things moving in a positive direction.
Embrace the embarrassment. Make it a point to embarrass your team in heartless ways. Dancing badly in public, use outdated slang, or tell dad jokes around their friend. It's all good fun, and deep down they secretly love it. And if they roll their eyes, it's even better.
You've actually done some pretty funny things to embarrass them, Chris. Why don't you tell them a few of the things you've done?
I like to meet them at the bus stop when they were younger, and I would always be in costume. I was a Twinkie one time, I was a Christmas tree all lit up, and even one time I put a pumpkin on my head.
Yeah, I don't know. We're big Office fans, so if you've ever seen the cold open with Dwight Schrute where he had the jack-o'-lantern on his head, Chris did that. I'm pretty sure we have a picture of it somewhere. We'll have to post that to Instagram. And the Christmas lights that he had done, he was like wrapped all in a string of Christmas lights. And didn't you turn them on?
We did.
Yeah, that was awesome. And what was the other one? Oh, the Twinkie you had said. I don't know where that costume even came from. It was like one of those Halloween, you know, slip-on full-body costumes. It was a Twinkie. I think it had originated from one of my sister's Halloween parties years ago, and somehow we ended up with it. And that Twinkie's gotten a lot of use. You've used it many times to embarrass the kids. And then there, you've also written on the street a few times in sidewalk chalk as the bus is pulling up so all the kids can see it. The one I remember the most is you had written on the last day of school, like, hey, there's 66 days until the first day of school or something like that. And that one was hilarious.
Yeah, and I also wrote in nice big letters for everyone to see that Chris is the coolest.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, Chris is the coolest is written in a lot of places, actually. So moving on, another thing we do is to speak their language, but we do it badly. So hopefully you guys all heard our episode on Gen Z slang. So take some of that slang and just try to use it back at them, but as poorly as possible. So maybe even mix up the terms, make up your own, or over-exaggerate the ones you know. Frequently, you'll hear Chris and I say things like, that's so Sigma, right? They'll cringe, but it's hilarious.
No cap.
See? Perfect example.
Another thing we do is to play along with the drama. When your teen is being over-the-top dramatic, play along. Act like the crisis is the end of the world, too. Oh no, they ran out of your favorite coffee syrup. We should call the president.
I love that you brought up coffee syrup, but since you did, I feel like I should mention that I found out, like, within the last few years that coffee syrup, I think, is a regional thing. I don't think that's available much outside of New England. And so if you're wondering what coffee syrup is, it's like Hershey's chocolate syrup, or I think they have strawberry syrup or vanilla syrup. It's like that. So you'd add it to milk, and then you'd make coffee milk. And coffee milk is the best form of milk there is. It's kind of like coffee ice cream, but obviously in milk form. And if you can order it online, I highly recommend it because coffee milk is the bomb.
It is very good.
Yeah. So another thing that we have done is to create a parent's revenge list. So what we did is we started a list of all the ridiculous things that our teenagers have done over the years, and we love to remind it that we're going to share it at their wedding one day. It's a funny way to keep track of their antics and let them know that we're paying attention.
Hey, at least we warned them.
Exactly. Do you remember that time that one of our children, who shall remain nameless, had a meltdown at the Providence Bruins game? He ended up on the Jumbotron, and apparently he didn't want to be on the Jumbotron that day, so he lost it. Do you remember this?
Yes, he threw a complete fit.
Yeah, he went and he cried over against the wall of the section we were on. And he just said, I don't remember if it was the rest of the game or just for a little while, but he sat there and cried for so long. There's a picture of that somewhere, and I know I had posted it to Facebook when it happened because he was pretty little at the time. But I'm not going to call which child it is out specifically because I don't want to embarrass him.
We'll save it for the wedding.
Exactly. Thank you.
And another thing Robin and I like to do is text like a teen. We respond to their texts in an exaggerated style by using way too many emojis and abbreviations. OMG, BRB, TTYL, laughing face, or the peace sign. They'll either laugh or be too confused to reply.
Yeah, they don't even reply half the time anyway, so why not make it funny? And remember, sarcasm is your friend. Chris and I use playful sarcasm to diffuse the tension. If they say something like, I'm never going to talk to you again, we would respond with something like, oh no, whatever will we do with all this peace and quiet? I mean, obviously if it's something serious, that wouldn't be appropriate, and I probably didn't even have to say that, but when your teen's being melodramatic, it's fun to give it back a little bit.
And I'm going to end this one, have a secret parent code. Develop a code with your partner or co-parent to signal when you're both on the verge of losing it. It could be something silly like pancake mode, which means you're about to go crazy and you need to take a break. But Robin also uses pancake mode when she's hungry.
Yeah, and it's up to you to figure out which one I mean.
And I never know.
That's the point. I guess what we're trying to say, though, is that we use humor as a tool to connect, to lighten the mood, and to show our kids that we don't take ourselves too seriously. I think it helps them to see that even during the tough times, laughter can be a great way to cope.
Humor definitely helps. And with that, I want to say that if you're raising teens, our unsolicited advice is just to embrace the chaos.
Yes.
Teenage life is full of unpredictability. Just do your best to embrace it, whether it's mood swings, messy rooms, or ever-changing interests. Learning to laugh at the chaos can take that edge off.
Definitely. And I will just add real quick that picking your battles definitely helps. Not every issue needs to be a major conflict. Save your energy for the important things, you know, like safety and values, and try to let the smaller stuff slide. It's not always easy, believe me, I know, but in our experience, it actually does help.
Raising teens is a wild ride full of laughs, frustration, and the occasional head-scratching moment. If you can laugh about it, you're already halfway to surviving it. And remember, you're not alone.
You're definitely not alone. If you have any questions, suggestions, feedback, feel free to shoot us an email at the Gen X Podcast. No, what did I say? I said that wrong. Oh my God, I gave you guys the wrong email address. It's the Gen X Couple Podcast at gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the Gen X Couple. I'm going to post the pictures that we can find of Chris embarrassing the children, which is hilarious. Look out for those. And actually, while we're talking about it, if you guys have funny stories about raising teenagers, email them to me, because chances are we'll read them at some point on the podcast. Eventually, we do want to get into having you guys sending us stories, and then, you know, we would divide them up by subject, and then we'd read them on the pod. So go ahead, put it in the subject line, you know, parenting story or whatever, and then just email it to us, and then eventually we'll probably read it on the podcast. And if you made it this far, thank you guys so much for listening. Next week, we're going to be talking about our top 10 TV shows. And when I say top 10, I'm using that loosely because we each have a top 10 list, which we originally decided not to share with each other, but we ended up sharing with each other because we thought a lot of them were going to overlap, and they did. But we've also got other things like honorable mentions, and hopefully you'll walk away from that episode with a bunch of new binge-worthy show suggestions. So until then,
see you later, alligator.
In a wild crocodile.